call this September 29, 2015 Administrative Committee slash Finance to order. Present are Council President Bullock, Councilpersons Kilpatrick, Sheldon, Tackett, Street, Hollins, Weiner, Cartier, Diller, Retta, Councilman Smiley, Co-Chair of Finance, and Ms. Finnegan is taking the minutes. What's your pleasure on the minutes of August 20th? Is that right?
No.
Yeah, August 25th, 2015. Okay, there's a motion to approve. Councilman Bell is with us. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the ayes have it. Okay, first on the agenda is R15 dash, there may be a typo on your agenda, it's 167. Authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Public Sector Incorporated for the renewal of maintenance contract for land use and special services Hanson Software for the Office of Technology in the amount of $204,304.04. And this is for maintenance and computer software specifications. And let's see. The only way to receive equipment support, corrections, and enhancements to the telephone system and software, and the only way to get authoritative help and resolution of operational problems involving this system. Well, if they're the ones we were relying on to fix our search engine for stuff, we need to look at another contract. But, so, that's it. Is there any questions from any members of council? Councilman Cartier.
Yeah, I don't want to get into, fine-grained detail on this, but I guess the question I have is, how long have you had Hanson, and how long is it expected that we'll continue to have, the ability to get software upgrades and support for this? Are we getting to the end of the life cycle of this? Are we going to have to migrate eventually to another system?
Denny Harbert from Finance. I can speak to the billing side of the Hanson product. And right now, we're not sure how many years we have left. We do know that they have moved to an internet version of their software, but they are still fully supporting the billing section and the version that we're on. As far as land use, I can't speak for them. They've had Hanson longer than we have. I'm not sure of the status of the product that they have from Hanson, but I think it's all developed in the one version. I know we just got a new version and an August update that we will be testing in the next couple of months. But I get no inclination from IS that support's going to go away for this in a year or two. IS would be better qualified to answer that question, but I don't get any feelings from IS that we have to do it now. I mean, we definitely should start thinking about it. Not getting away from it, but eventually we're going to have to go out and look at what's out there on the market and make a decision IS-wise as far as where you're going to go with the system.
Thank you.
Any other? Councilman Weiner.
Just for a historical archival note, 20 years ago we had this same discussion around the state.
For the record, I think Councilman Hollins may be able to agree with you, but no one else.
We do it all the time.
So. I'm not questioning it. I'm sure it has
great
happened.
New ideas that we discussed 15, 20 years ago.
Yep. Okay, anything further from members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. Next on the agenda, 15-087, amend the FY 2016 approved operating budget, revise clerk of the peace, appropriate $6,000 from the clerk of the peace technology fee account for the technology consultation services for fiscal year FY 2016. Synopsis is that we're amending the FY 2016 operating budget by appropriating the $6,000 from the Clerk of the Peace's technology fee account. Additional funds be utilized to provide the consultation services. The ordinance, if adopted, would amend the 2016 approved operating budget by appropriating $6,000 from the account Additional funds will be utilized to provide the services. $20 from every marriage license fee is placed in the escrow account for technology needs for the clerk of the peace, and this legislation will not increase the FY 2016 operating budget. Or it will increase by $6,000, but will not carry forward. Okay. Any questions from any members of council? Councilman Weiner.
Since we have our illustrious clerk of the peace here, it would be nice just to hear a few words.
I was going to follow the protocol and give council first opportunity in case there was a question. If there isn't any, then I would yield.
Ken Bolden, clerk of the peace, Newcastle County, and I'm pleased to say I've been here as long as these two gentlemen here. I just want to share with you, in brief, this doesn't really change your bottom line at all. I continue to generate more money every month than the month before. And the reason I'm able to do that is because I have continually been successful in finding ways to do that by improving our technological offerings to people, online applications, the web marriages, and a variety of other things. So this is seed money. This is money that they paid in recording fees for their licenses, so when they come back after their marriage, we actually put their marriage into the system to formalize it, creating a permanent digital record and then sending it, archiving it to the state. But beyond that, we have some other ideas how we can, again, make more money. And to do that, we need some technological support that's not in the budget for us to do. So what I want to do is take some of that money in my technological fund that I raise for this reason and move it over. And to tell you how we've been doing with this, just as an example, I haven't had the opportunity to share it with the administration yet. But in the first quarter of this fiscal year compared to the last fiscal year and the fiscal year before, I can tell you that the first quarter of last fiscal year, I made about $2,500 more every month than I did the previous fiscal year. The first three quarters of this year, I've generated about $5,000 more each month than I did the previous year. It's because we're taking advantage of these technological ideas that we're offering to the public, and they love it. We live in that kind of society now where they expect it. So they're paying for these improvements themselves with their fees, and we're applying them to a system to make it even better that generates more money. So I couldn't be happier. Okay. So I'm just here to ask you for the authority to move the money from one account to the other so we continue to put these seed monies into effect so we can continue to generate these additional revenues.
Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? If you want to hold right there, we have another one coming right up. That's 15-088, to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 2 Administration, Article 3, Officers and Employees, to allow the Clerk of the Peace to maintain an account for technological purposes. And this ordinance will allow the Clerk of the Peace to establish and maintain an account for technological purposes and to authorize expenditures subject to the county's purchasing and bidding guidelines. You want to go ahead and just speak to this?
In brief again, years ago, this body passed an ordinance giving me specifically, the clerk of the peace, the authority to set fees, change fees, establish programs, alter programs, whatever, without coming back to you every single time that I do it. And it's worked out very successfully. There's never been a problem. There's never been a complaint. The most recent being the technological fund that I put into place with the recording fees. It has been an in-house program that I did in my office. It's being expanded to some of the other areas in government. It's been expanded now to the lower two counties that they're sort of following suit with what we're doing because it's so successful. But I've never really formalized it. I never needed to, but I just thought as a courtesy I'd come before this body to let you know what I'm doing, how it's working, and to add the formality of just getting your blessing to what I'm doing so that it is formally established. It does one more thing that's really important to me. It offers transparency to the general public. It offers transparency to this body. and it makes, it sets in place the regular audit processes and the checks and the double checks to make certain that everything is being administrated correctly by our finance department and our money people. And that's what I'm trying to put in place, just to make sure that those assurances are there.
Any questions, any members of the council? Anything from the public? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And just remember, it still remains cheaper to get in than it does to get out.
Absolutely. I've been there, done it.
Okay. Substitute 1 to 14-089, staying on the table?
089 and 090, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, we're going to move on to grant requests and community events. First on the agenda is the August Quarterly Festival Committee, President Bullock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we know, August Quarterly is a historic event here in Wilmington and in the area. They've asked for $2,500 to assist them in covering costs around tables, tents, chairs, systems, and so forth. The event has already happened. This is $1,000 toward those expenses. I make a motion to that end.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second for $1,000, the August Quarterly Festival Committee. All those in favor? Question on the motion.
Mr. President.
Yes, yes.
May I add $5 to that?
$5? Yes, sir.
Five racetrack dollars.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, race.
Street talk.
Yes, sir.
Street talk. Track talk.
Yes,
okay.
Appreciate
my
it.
Apologies, sir. Now, is that 500?
Additional.
Yeah. So we need a new motion for 1500.
Make a motion that the amount be $1,500 toward August Quarterly.
Okay. Second. We have a motion for 1500. Motion and seconded. 1500 for the August Quarterly. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Not voting. Next, we have the Delaware Nutra Need Incorporated, President Bullock.
They've asked for $2,500. This is a new group, I believe, that has reached out to me for equipment of meals to child care providers. I'm willing to give $250 toward this initiative, and I make a motion to that end.
Second.
Okay, any question on the motion? Having duly been made and seconded, there's a motion on the table for $250, Delaware Nutra Need Incorporated. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Not voting. Next, we have the Police Athletic League of Delaware Incorporated, President Bullock.
We all are aware of Powell and what they do. Youth programs, I believe, serve as a positive alternative to gangs, drugs, and guns. They've asked for $250. I'm willing to support them with $250. I make a motion to that end.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion second. Any questions on the motion? Hearing no questions on the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Not voting. Is any of this going towards parental driving instruction? I know, not nice.
Car for you.
Yeah. Okay. Next, we have the Friends of Iron Hill Park, Councilwoman Diller.
Yes. This is a
I said that because nobody
program.
Was hurt.
It's sponsored by the Friends of Iron Hill Park, but it's also got another group that's involved, plus maybe the Boy Scouts down the line. It's going to create a GPS mapping for Iron Hill Park, and then I think it would be available to anybody who is interested. So I'm willing to support them with $1,342. And if you know Mr. Knopf, who heads up the Friends of Iron Hill, that's exactly what this will cost.
Okay, there's a motion for $1,300. And there's a second. Any questions on the motion? Hearing no questions on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Not voting. Next on the agenda, No Limits Athletics, Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No Limits Athletics is a Newcastle County community-based organization for youth that provides sports as well as tutoring. I guess a few years ago I provided a grant to them, I believe for the same purpose, but I guess the uniforms is worn out and they condition their helmets. And I guess what they're asking me for is $2,472. I guess that's the exact amount it costs, but I'm making a motion for $1,000 toward that.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for $1,000 to No Limit Athletics. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Not voting. Next, we have the Nostres Races Delaware Incorporated. Councilman Cartier.
Yes, this is a very well-known Hispanic organization that supports, they have a beauty pageant and a festival that they have been involved in over the years. And they are requesting $2,500. I gave them $2,500. I am not giving them $2,500. I'm going to give them $500 this year. If other members of council would like to join in to help me with this, this serves the Hispanic community all over Newcastle County, and they're looking at scholarships as well. So if any other members want to join, they're welcome to.
Councilman Cartier, yes. I'd like to add $250.
Okay. $250.
And I'll do the same.
What are you up to, George?
I'll do a punch. We're up to 1,000.
I'll give 5. Thank you.
That gets you there.
Okay. We currently have $1,500.
I'd like to make a motion of $1,500 between myself, Councilman Rebeck, Councilman Bullock, Councilmember Patrick, and the Nostres Races
Second.
Okay, there's a motion second for $1,500. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Not voting. Next, we have the Village of Long Creek Maintenance Corporation. Councilman Tackett.
Hey, Mr. Chairman. You know, this is a newly turned over maintenance organization that is an age-restricted community of mine in Glasgow, and they're looking to put in a defibrillator in the clubhouse, given the age of the community. They brought us the request, and I feel it's applicable, and I'm going to make a motion for $1,000 to help provide the defibrillator.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for $1,000. Any questions on the motion? All those in favor, somebody saying aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Not voting. Other than the comment about the age of the community, I have no problem with that. You will be getting there, trust me. Depending on your actions, I'm surprised I'm there. So, okay, next on the agenda, presentation update on the county's short and long-term investments. Mr. Koop, please.
Good afternoon, Mike Koop, Finance. I was asked to come give a brief presentation on the investments, and I just wanted to start by saying the quarter actually will be ending tomorrow, September the 30th. So, but I also want to take advantage of this opportunity, not as much to go in, I'll tell you about the investment process and that, but where we are. Because last month when we gave our projections for the upcoming year and that, we, using those investment numbers, we're showing our sewer investments exceeding the budget by about $50,000, the general fund down about $50,000. But because it's not the end of the quarter yet, we'll have a better idea starting tomorrow. But with that in mind, what I want to start off by saying is the contract, the vendor that we've hired as our consultant, UBS, the contract is currently going through the contract process. What I'm hoping to do is, and I was going to say for the second meeting in October, bring them in to give a presentation on how we handle our investments. They'd be able to give market updates, where we are with our future projections, and how we ended the first quarter. And also going, you know, the short-term investments with the quarter ending tomorrow, with the tax bills due today, we'll see a great surge in that too, and our income coming in with that. But I was thinking, and after their contract is complete, we'll be moving forward with picking up the selections for the investment managers, because UBS will be the investment consulting, replacing who was here in the past was West Capital. This process, as I see it, would be similar to, as Councilman, I won't say Councilman Smiley is aware of it, how we do things at the pension. NEPC is their consultant, and then there's money managers who manage the funds. The consultants oversee how the investments go. So we would have that same type of process. And I was thinking about the other day, too, if it would work okay, that since we'd be getting quarterly updates from the investment consultant, that they also come here, give a quarterly update on the investments. This way, you'd be hearing it, you know, right from the subject matter experts, where we stand.
I think we appreciate that
yes,
very much.
Yes, hear their language, you know, when they talk about the duration, what it's for the year, how we invest in the corporate bond or the treasuries. And I think that would be rewarding for council also, not just me, or finance. And maybe down the road, as I was saying yesterday to Councilwoman Kilpatrick and Councilman Cartier, I don't know. I know there's always the ordinances out there for an investment committee or that, but at least this way you'd be getting the numbers and the information directly from the consultant. So that's what I'd like to do starting, and I'll say the second meeting in October, which would be the follow-up.
Okay.
Does that sound pretty good?
Yep.
I think it'll make for a smooth operation.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
This is for UBS. Is this possible to duplicate this for every other manager that we and consultant that we have for any of our investments?
Well, they would oversee all our investments. See, currently there's still the county still has one money manager, investment manager technically out there, and that's Wilmington Trust,
sure.
Who was they had had a portion of the reserves back under West Capital. This is just the portion that they were handling right now is the portion that was overseen by West Capital and SIT Investments.
So at this point, we have no investments with anybody other than UBS.
And Wilmington Trust.
And Wilmington Trust.
And on the shorter term that we're talking about, like the revenues coming in tomorrow, and are at the WSFS, Wells Fargo. They're more in money markets. And if we see through projections, maybe 90 days, 120 days, you might get a CD. But anyway, UBS would be overseeing all the investment managers, just as West Capital did.
Okay.
So the information that is sent to us will encompass all of the investments that we
yes.
have out there.
All yes,
the
when
funds,
they come in, they'll be given the a presentation on, yes.
And then this would be done on a quarterly basis?
Yes, and we would do it quarterly because they'll be coming in to give the updates to the finance department quarterly. And then instead of us trying to pass the information on third hand, and at least we'd have the subject matter here, experts here, to answer the questions that might arise.
Okay. Appreciate it.
I was just going to stay here because I think the next statement is for me, too.
Yeah. Next, we have a discussion regarding the county's phone and online tax payments and fees.
And Denny Hardman's here with me also because Denny obviously is the subject matter expert on the sewer bills and the fees. But we wanted to just go over things instead of using paper here. I thought it'd be better to do it on the screen. Because we always, especially at this time of the year, there's always questions about how the payments come in. And what we've done here to start off with is we've taken a tax bill, which is really my tax bill, but showing that if I paid this bill with Discover through the Treasury Department, the fee would be $25 because Discover charges 1.5% fee. Is that correct, Denny?
No, the
all right, see.
Yeah.
Would you like to yield?
Yes, I'll yield. See, I'm going off track already.
Since the first emphatic statement was wrong, let's go.
But it was my tax bill, and that's correct,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for the Discover payment.
Let the record show it's not marked paid.
Did you say paid?
No.
Yeah, we're in a governmental program with Discover, and we've been in that for probably 20 or more years. I don't even know if it's open anymore, but we have been in it. And the fees are graduated. Basically, it's based on the total of your charge. So if you're charging up to $100, your fee is $1. And then it goes, you know, up to $100 to $500, it's $3. And then it gets all the way up to where once it gets over $2,000, the fee is $25. So that's the maximum fee. It's capped at $25 for Discover.
Go ahead, Danny. If I paid with Paymentus.
Yeah, and then Paymentus, they take all credit cards. They take, you know, American Express, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and they take e-checks. They are strictly percentage. They charge the customer 2.5% for tax of whatever the charge is. And then for sewer, because utilities are a little different in the credit card market, for the sewer bills, because they're a utility, it's a flat fee of $5.65 per every $650 amount of the charge. It's a little weird.
Yeah, I noticed the look.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the way utilities work in the credit card world.
Right.
You know, so we have to have the same payment structure as everybody else does.
So if I were to pay this, my tax, using one of those cards, that's the fee I would pay. The next line down shows if New Castle County was picking up the merchant fee instead of it being passed on to the consumer at a different rate. It is 3%. It would be New Castle County would pick up the fee of $69. Go ahead, Denny. I think there's a council person who has a question.
Yep. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
So what if we had an app by which people pay their taxes? Is that just an automatic, like a wire transfer of money versus going through a credit card?
Well no matter how we accept the payment, whether it's on the internet, through some type of app, in person, a credit card is a credit card, no matter how we take it. Because that's what they're using to give us the funds.
That's how they're processing
Correct.
It. Okay.
So the credit card is a credit card no matter what avenue we get it in. And right now, the customer is paying that fee to our vendors. And these vendors, especially Paymentus and OPC probably handle most of the governments across the country. And because they have, you know, probably 300, 400, 500 customers across the country, governmental agencies, they have a very large amount of credit card usage, so they get super fees from the credit card industry. Fees that we could never get. So that's why they can charge the customer 2.5%, when if we did it ourselves, we would probably, I mean, the estimate right now is 3%. Now, depending on what we ultimately had, it could go higher, it could go lower, depending on where the industry stands. That's the estimate we're using right now.
So the only way that we as a county do not have some fee imposed on each payment is if we write you a check or come in with cash. Is that correct?
Check,
money
cash,
order. Debit
money
card.
Order. They can pay by PIN debit card.
Okay.
And it, yeah, and that. And
so none of those put a fee on to
correct.
The county?
Correct. Well, there's no fee on the customer.
No, but onto the county. I mean, the county's picking, you're picking it up.
Yes, yeah. Every, yes. Even when you give us a check, there's a transaction fee that the county pays. It's just
minimal.
It's exactly. Very minimal compared to the credit card merchant fee.
Mr. Chairman. Yep. Councilman Gardier.
All right. I have moved my personal banking online. Mm-hmm. So I log accounts online. And then I basically pay online. What is there a structure associated with online banking for
no,
the bank to, let's say the county got into having a ability to have
charge.
Money transferred online?
Well, actually we do that now.
You do that now?
Yeah, there are a few national networks that take credit cards and banking online, payments online.
Right.
The one that our bank is on, anybody that makes an online payment, so if you go out to your bank, if they are on the same national network that Wells Fargo is, who is our bank, we should get that payment electronically. And we get electronic payments from online payment services every day.
There's no cost to us.
No, there's no cost. Well, there's a minimal transaction fee. And the customer, the only fees they would pay is if their bank charges them something, but they would have no charge from us because they would pay online. Now, one thing that a lot of people don't realize with online banking like that, if you read your online banking rules, there's always a disclaimer on there that says they may mail a check. And that's because if they're on network one and they're trying to pay somebody on network two, that won't work. Or if you go out and you give them information that doesn't meet the requirements of the network, then they may also send us a check. So it's not always electronic.
Well, that's a minimal cost to the county.
Yes.
Both ways.
Correct.
Well, let me just say this. A member of this government, I didn't realize you had banking online. So I'm going to go that way to make my sewer bill payment.
Yeah, you just have to make sure that when you go out, the most important thing to remember is when you go out to your banking online, is that the information has to be correct. You can pay the county, you can pay us sewer bills, you can pay us tax bills, land use takes some fees online. So that when you go out there, what a lot of people do, and we've run into, is they'll set it up when we are taking sewer payments, and they'll set it up for sewer. And then in July when they get their tax bill, they won't change the information. They'll just say, oh, Newcastle County selected, not realizing that when that payment comes into us, it's for sewer. Correct. Okay. So that's the biggest thing you have to watch when you're paying online.
That's on onus is on the online.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
Remember that when they call you.
When do you get the information logged on to basically create that bill pay system on my online system?
That would be through you would have to sign into your account at the bank.
Yeah.
And then the information that they would ask you, all of that information should be on our bill. They should only be asking you for account number, amount, and
off the bill.
Yeah, who to pay and the address. Right. That should be all the information that they need.
Well, we need to broadcast that more widely to the public because a lot of people, are going on that.
It
saves the 47 cents.
You know, we have a lot of stuff on the bills. That is mentioned on the bills. And also, you know, we also note on the bills, just like I told you, that you have to realize that if you bank online, it's not always electric. You know, sometimes it is a manual check. We even have that information on the bills, you know, just to try to alert people that just because you went out tonight and made your electronic payment and your bank took the money out of your account, that doesn't mean we got the money at that point in time.
So it could be a late payment.
It's possible. I mean, we have people calling all the time and say, I set this to pay you on, you know, September 30th, a month ago, and then we get a check mailed with the postmark October 2nd from their bank.
Wow.
I mean, that happens.
One thing, if I could, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
In my system, it will specify whether it's a check that will be mailed, and it will give me a date.
Oh, yours does? Okay.
Okay, so, you know, a lot of this is...
I have no problem paying online. Finding someone to put money in the same way, I seem to have an issue with. Doesn't seem to equal out every month.
Now, this next slide, we wanted to show you the total tax and sewer payments for 2015. It totaled over $9 million. That's the total fees that we estimate were paid to the vendor.
The 9.2 million, that is the total tax and sewer payments that we got through either Paymentus or Discover. And then the next column are the fees that the customers paid to either Paymentus or Discover. Paymentus and Discover made $185,000 worth of fees from the customer.
And then below shows what Newcastle County would have picked up had they'd not been paying the fee, and we were paying the merchant fee instead. It would cost us $277,000.
Cost us much more.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, just a minute. I'm just curious. I don't know if you even would have this, but because it's an awful lot coming in that way. As I'm thinking, with those type of fees, the majority of people are doing it to get in under the wire. But with that kind of money, that can't be all the people at the last minute.
No, we receive payments from Paymentus and Discover. I would say out of the working days in the calendar year, there may be three or four where we don't get any money from Discover or Paymentus. There are people paying every single day.
But these would be individual payments, right? I mean, this wouldn't be coming from mortgage companies.
No, not
credit
from mortgage
cards.
Companies.
They're sending you the check.
No, they're individual.
A large volume.
No, the mortgage companies, they're all electronic
wire. So that's just a large amount.
Why he's paying that?
Well, you know, the large amount. You want me to go to the next screen?
Yeah, but actually, based on what Councilman Swiley was... Go ahead, Councilman.
Let's see what Councilwoman Kilpatrick wants.
Okay, because she's very confused.
Well, I saw you talking to Tim, so...
I know, that really... he solves all my problems. Didn't you know that?
And you're still married.
So
the fee paid by the customer to the vendor. If I came, how would I have to pay my taxes that I would be paying the vendor?
Well, what happens is, so if you sign on to our website, there's a link to pay your taxes online. It goes right to the Paymentus site, and you put in the amount of taxes you're going to pay. If you're going to pay $1,000, they calculate their fee, and then they come back and tell you and say you're going to pay $1,000 on taxes, our fees, $250.
It's like shipping and handling when you're ordering online.
Okay. And then what happens is then Paymentus sends us our money, and they keep theirs.
Then they keep theirs. Okay. All right.
Let's see what this next one holds.
Well, the next one was going to show that if everyone paid by credit card, what the fees would be of Newcastle County. But as Councilman Smiley just said, you know, a lot of the payments come in through the mortgage companies. But this was just to give an idea of the bottom is we're at the 277, but if we went up to a $21 million, it would be $631,000 and so on.
And just one point that is, and some people pay like this because they get money back. I mean, that's especially on Discover.
Points on the card.
We have one customer, and the first year we started taking Discover.
I've seen that commercial.
They called in and they pay all their business bills. They come in and pay us, you know, $80,000 on their personal Discover card, because the fee was $25, and then at the end of the year they got 1.5% back from Discover. Yep. So as far as that customer is concerned, he's making money.
My sister-in-law just got like $3,000 on a vehicle.
Right. Today.
Yeah. So,
all right, let's go to the next one.
The next one after this?
If there's, unless there's further questions on this payment, what I was going to touch on next, Councilman Smiley and Councilwoman Kilpatrick had a question about the bills. And Danny, could you skip down to the next person? Yeah. The back of the bill contains obviously a lot of information. One of them being about the senior discounts. So we had a question. Now we get back to the front, Danny.
Yep.
The question was if we could stick something on the front concerning the discount for seniors. And I know Danny had done a few different formats. We were trying to figure out what you could move around. Obviously, there's not a lot of room there. But I wanted to say that give Councilman Smiley credit because he did send an email that said perhaps a note on the front that indicates see back for discount contact information. Just a suggestion, was a very good suggestion because we were able to find a spot to put that. So we're thinking about putting that first up at the top there if everyone can see it, just to try and get people to start looking on the back. So I want to give credit to Councilman Smiley for his idea.
At least it gives us a response when the people are asking. And the other thing, you know, that I asked, when you go online and look at the tax bill, you don't see the back. So we need to look at room to put that information there as well. And then I think we've got it covered.
Exactly. And that's why, that little statement there, since I know Councilman Weiner and I both were, you know, getting into the senior discount program, you know, because of our birthdays this year.
And actually, I mean, just speaking on what Councilman Smiley just said, the other option that we could explore with IS is to maybe add some links when you open up your tax bill online. Because it's all out on the website.
Mm-hmm.
I can work with IS to see if there's some links to say when you pull this up, maybe have something that says, "Do you have questions on exemptions?" Or and then the link can take
that.
There.
That would work. All I'm saying it's. It's kind of like I used to have a son-in-law who worked in a store, and they asked.
He doesn't work in the store anymore.
No, he's not a son-in-law anymore. Matter of fact, for his own health reasons, he moved to Dakota. But that being aside, one of the questions, first question they asked him when they put him in the department, they said, "What would you change?" He said, "Well, I'd move batteries next to the flashlights instead of the other end of the store." And that's kind of what you're saying here. People are going to go look at their tax bill. So, if there's a link there, then, we don't need all the things, but you know what I'm saying. It's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we have, that with IS.
We have to make information easy for people like me and big and bold and all that. Now, I appreciate them, you know. And I know when I contacted them, they told me you're already working on this. Well, I'll back away then. Let's just, as long as we get something done, that's all.
So we were thinking about putting this on the front of the bills, and then it would be out there, and then, like I said, I would assume that IS could put something together on the website mm-hmm. that would then, now that you're pulling up your tax bill, do you have questions on 1, 2, 3, whatever they may be, and then have direct links to that part of our website, work with IS.
And being the observant person I am, I only have to say, I do have to acknowledge, so this is what it feels like to look at another county employee's information.
That one's not mine.
I was referring back.
I'm not sure where that one definitely wasn't mine.
I was referring back to the edited version.
I offered mine up for the first part.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's good. No identification on that side. You can't tell whose that is.
We can't.
No.
No.
Guess when we come back here.
Just generally, if my taxes are paid out of my mortgage, out of the escrow, do I get a tax bill?
No.
Okay, because I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen a tax bill.
That's why we wanted the internet thing.
You don't get one mailed to your house.
Okay.
But we do create images. We don't print them and pay for postage, but we do put the images of them on the website so that if anybody wants to see one that has a mortgage escrow account, they can go out and get it.
Okay.
And you haven't seen one because your husband paid it off years ago and never told
you're
you.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, that's another fairy tale.
Councilman Taggart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Denny, I guess procedurally, just so I'm clear, like tax bills are due now, so somebody might see on there that they're eligible for the senior tax exemption, let's say, or be clued into it, go check into it, say, well, how, I'm eligible for this, but they now can't apply until next year, but they have to have next year's application, right? They can't just fill out the application now.
For the exemption, yes. The state senior credit has no income limitation, so we will give that to them whenever they call in. However, the exemption is income-based, so to be approved for that, you have to send in your tax return. So they don't, assessment keeps, they keep a list, and then they mail the new form out in January. Because nobody has their tax return in November and December, even if they gave them a form, you wouldn't be able to submit it. Until you have your tax return back, because you need your tax return for the prior year to prove your income.
And you say you keep a list.
Well, assessment does. Like anybody that calls in now, if you call in and say, especially if you call in to us, and they mention they would like to have an exemption application, we send their information to assessment. I don't know where assessment puts it, but they have a list somewhere, a mailing list. And then in January, when they have the new application ready, they mail it out to everybody that's called in and ask for one. Yeah, so anybody that calls in, they say, we don't have them right now, we'll put your name on a list, and then in January we will mail them to you. And they keep, now, where they keep that list, I'm not sure, but they keep a list. And then in January they mail them out.
And I've also had it where, matter of fact, I was involved in it, where filed for the exemption and just to get a clarification, and they were a little bit over, so when they sent that notice, then they called, and then the next year they just mailed them a clean form.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else, many members of council? Councilman Shelton.
I don't know where we're going. Say I pay my out of my escrow, everything's done March 1st. How does that get picked up, or how do you get notified that this particular person owes?
What's supposed to happen is every year we wipe the mortgage file. So we start from scratch. We blank out every mortgage code in the system, and by May 1st, all the mortgage companies have to send us their request. So we basically trust that the mortgage company excludes your parcel number from their list. Now, that doesn't always happen.
Right.
So if they include your parcel on your list, you won't get a bill. However, we have the bills out on the system. If you call, we can get you a bill. And if something happens that you don't realize that happened, and it gets to where the October bill goes out, really we mailed the bill to the wrong place. We sent it to your mortgage company when they don't have an escrow. So we will rectify that. But basically, we wipe the file.
Three times a year, I guess. Every year, you get like three constituents that...
Yeah, there's always some that, you know, because the mortgage companies, they buy and sell so much. And we work, and the other thing that happens is, for us to be prepared, we require the information on May 1st. So if the mortgage company on June 29th, if you come in and pay it off on June 29th, well, they've already requested it from us. Now, what should be happening is, when you pay it off, your mortgage company should be telling you. And I think most times they do, go to your taxing authority, because you're going to have to pay this bill now. Here's your escrow money back. And they should be alerting you, you know, to the fact that you should be getting a tax bill and to call us. And most times it does work like that, because we get a lot of calls from customers say, I just paid off my mortgage, and told me to call you. And then we get them a bill. But yeah, it does happen. I mean, there are going to be people that pay it off, the mortgage company requested it in error, and that person does nothing until they get the next bill. But then when they call, if we verify that, yes, we went to the mortgage company and it shouldn't have, then we'll rectify that with them.
Okay. Councilman Street and Councilman Warner.
Well, this is on taxes, but completely different subject. Can I proceed?
Yes, sir.
Well,
at least start, we'll say.
Well, I guess it was this time last year, I had occasion to be at the government center when it was tax day, tax week. I just thought, I was appalled because what I saw just flies in the face of a good customer service. You got folks backed out the door, you only have two windows. And to me, even if, and I know you've only got two glass windows, but even if for that week you set up other windows and you have to put a cop there, it's better than having that kind of chaos. And you got the doors blocked off. I'm quite sure the fire marshal wouldn't have been happy about that. You got chaos in the parking lot because nobody can park. And all I know, I reflected back to when I became a teller, racetrack in 1970, and they had all these written rules, but there's only one rule that you follow, cut them lines down and get them in. And, you know, I just think, no one. I know now, I raised it a year too late, but next year, maybe you want to think about doing something different, at least during the week when our taxes are due and you know it's going to be busy. And the other is, if I were the two people taking the money behind the window, oh, I'd have quit. Because they never come up for air.
We do actually have, and we've been doing it for probably about 10 years. We do have two other stations set up in the lobby. So actually we have four. We have desks set up in the lobby and two more cashiers out there. And that started, we always start that a week before. So that started last week. There's four people down there today. And even with four people, usually the day before, which is today, and the due date, which is tomorrow, we still have lines. Even with four people, if 30 people walk in the door at the same time, we can only help as many as, you know, as four. And we also usually have somebody that goes downstairs and ask anybody that wants to leave their payment. If they're paying by check and they have their bill head and they want, and they're okay with their check being their receipt, we will do that, to try to
call,
control
the, line
the lines. I'm usually down there on the due date. And the day before, I was down there most of the day yesterday. And we had a fair steady people coming in yesterday. Very seldom do I hear complaints from the people standing in lines. I mean, I don't think they're there an overly long amount of time. But we do have other people in the lobby. We have four. We have at lunch, we relieve them, so... When one person goes to lunch, we have somebody else come down and take their place. We try to have four there. And I don't really think that lobby, the current configuration, could take more than that. I mean, to do more than that, you'd almost have to reconstruct the lobby in a different type of setting. We do have four there for the week.
You'd have to set up in the Gilliam conference room. Really? Mr. Coop, and then I'll go to Councilman Weiner.
I just want to say one of the things Councilman Street did. We did start last year, the year before, because I did speak to some of the employees, and they were concerned about their safety too. But we do have a police officer there these 2 days, today and tomorrow, that's there from 11 to 6, just in case there are any issues with the crowd.
I'll be over there tomorrow. Denny, you take checks, I'll take cash. We'll help get the line down.
I just raised it.
Yep.
In the instant matter, the will of the administration is the will of the administration.
Well, that's a new one. Councilman Wire.
Thank you. Questions concerning the senior discount / exemption information. It's, of course, only applies to the school tax?
Oh, no, it's for county and school.
Okay.
The difference is on the exemption. The difference is the county has a much higher threshold for what your income can be. You know, you can make up to $50,000 to be in the county program, but the schools, I want to say it's like you can only make like $17,000. So it's much more restrictive for the schools for the exemption. But then the school has an additional credit that sort of offsets their exemption.
Okay, so I hit the magic 65 and I applied and got the deduction for the school.
The credit.
I didn't get it for the county. I get my bill directly. And I just found out that I don't have to reapply each year.
No.
Okay.
How many years ago?
I don't know, but I'd ask for another tax statement on it.
What's the threshold for this county?
For the county, I believe it's $50,000 a year, and that does not, and we do not count Social Security.
Or railroad.
Yeah, railroad tier one. But everything else is counted off of your tax return. So if you make over $50,000, you can't get the county exemption or the school exemption. You can get the school credit because for the school credit, the only requirement is you live there and you've been in a resident for 3 years and you're 65. There's no income requirement for that, and that is a maximum of $500 the credit.
Okay. That explains the $500. What happens if people's income situation changes over the years?
I don't want to speak for assessment because assessment runs the exemptions, but I do know that if you're over $50,000 and you go below, you have to reapply and give them the new income statement. You know, as far as if you're under and your income changes and you could possibly go over, you know, I'm not sure that assessment. I don't know what they do with that or how to verify that, but I can pose a question to Doug and have him know that you guys asked the question and want an answer on it.
Okay. Thanks. Why don't you let all of the council know?
Mr. Bolden,
well, yeah, that's what I mean. The council wants to. Yeah.
I won't remember by the time I get that age. Mr. Bolden, you have a comment?
Yes, this is a good transition, and I enjoyed the friendly chat, but so you know, I applied about 5 years ago myself.
5 months ago.
Having said that, this whole dialogue about the online payments and who gets what the fees are, I just think you would like to know, and this is, I just share this now because of the two ordinances that you have before you that I brought to this tonight. You should be very proud that you have one of the most progressive marriage bureaus in the nation here, and we reach out to other jurisdictions to help them. We're one of the very few locations in the country where you can apply for a marriage license online. You can fill out all the paperwork, sit there in your office and home and apply for everything and fill out everything. You can pay, you can schedule your ceremony, you can order all the name change. You can do everything you want right there. And then, so it complies to on the law. You walk in, show your ID, we go, yep, that's you, here's your paperwork, and they walk out the door. The whole thing takes less than 30 seconds. And for that convenience, we can also check things like divorce decrees and death certificates and things of that nature. For that convenience, they pay a premium. They pay a fee to do that online. We've negotiated. It's a very reasonable fee. Must be because we got a lot of people doing it. But the vendor not only gets a piece for processing all that, we've negotiated where they give us a percentage of that. They share it back with us. So we not only get the license fee, but we get part of their processing fee for doing it online. So that's one of the things we've created out of this technology money and fund that we use that continues as seed money to help things grow.
Councilman Warner.
Can you pay up front for both the marriage license and divorce decree?
No, there's no warranties.
I tried to get them the authority to window divorce, and when they were good, because I figured we can make more money there. Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else from members of council, from the public? Okay. Discussion and possible vote to authorize additional funds for part-time contract attorney. We approved transferring funds from our contingency account for Mr. Danberg, and his initial purpose was to review the rules and a resolution addressing the most pressing changes, employee handbook, and FOIA requests, and assist with the clerk of council. Well, his role has, let's just say, he's been taken off topic and done other things. Council members have asked for his assistance. He's provided some work there. He's attended meetings, reviewed ordinances. So, bottom line is we still have work that needs to be done. So I'd ask for council. Let me pass these out so you can review if you want. But my intention is to ask council here today to allocate another $20,000 out of contingency. I don't know that we'll need it all, but just so we don't keep coming back, to have Mr. Danberg keep assisting clerk of council and council members on a part-time basis. I think I look on there.
Prepared to make it.
Well, it's $60 an hour plus parking. So there's still $2,245 remaining as of September 24th. Now, I don't think it's my place. I'm willing to talk to him to see if, you know, he could maybe take the bus. What?
We could have a pickup service.
Live, work, eat,
Uber.
Play.
Uber.
Pray. So he could take the bus here. Right, Bob? Am I on the money? Thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
I need your help with that from some other council members. Councilman Street.
Y'all do what you want. Nothing against Mr. Danberg, nothing against anybody else. But the vote that I made that eliminated this position before ain't gonna go away from me. And with my conscience, I just can't support it.
I understand. Betsy, would you like to make any comments on this before?
I think everything.
We got it covered?
Everything.
Councilman Warner.
Yes, I supported the motion before. I just want to understand, you had said that Mr. Danberg was taken off topic.
Maybe that was big words. I just say he kind of expanded, because I don't think the initial we thought that council members would approach him to ask questions or having do some things, and that had happened. So that's what I was talking about.
I just want to ask if there was a specific authorization that we as a body authorized, then under what authority does Mr. Danberg expand that authority to do projects for specific council persons? I wasn't aware that was occurring. I didn't ask him for any specific projects, and you know, I see council member project and so forth. I just want to understand, and you know, I'm happy to support consideration of a specific project, but I think we as a council ought to know what the authority is that this contract employee has been given, and if there's been some sort of self-expansion, I would like to understand what it was. So I guess I'll ask the question succinctly. What was the work that was done outside the original motion, and under whose authority?
Well, the only thing I can tell you is I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if Betsy can expand, but I mean, I'm sure there's some attorney-client privilege as to what, I don't know, because I don't know what the projects were. This is the limit of what I, what, what
okay,
I know.
Well, then I'll ask the question either to council and to the clerk of council.
Betsy Gardner, clerk of council. I think the intent of the original PO for Mr. Vanberg was for a request because the council to council was too busy to handle those and those types of extra duties that also affected Carol as well as myself. That was the intent. It was FOIA, employee handbook, and some rule changes, and any other, I don't think it was specific to only those things, any other items that maybe the council to council needed help with, or I did. And that's how this evolved. I think there were some projects that council members asked for some research, and Mr. Vanberg picked up some of those projects.
Okay, so I guess I'll singularly focus it on what authority was Mr. Vanberg authorized to do specific projects for council persons, and who authorized it?
I'm going to assume the requesting council member did, but I don't know. I didn't ask him to do anything for me. If I had, I guess I would have expected him to do it.
Well,
so I don't know what council members have, which ones haven't.
With all due respect,
I understand what you're saying.
I don't think any council person should be allowed to go outside the scope of authority by this body to ask for specific projects without coming back to this body for reconsideration of its authority.
Point taken, sir. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I thought that we were hiring an attorney to help with legal matters because we had a lot of legal things going on. And he was hired up to $20,000. I didn't ever understand that he was hired for one or two things. He just generally, we needed help in the time that we hired him.
Okay.
And it wasn't a position that was encumbering us for the rest of our lives. It was a contractual $20,000 basis.
Okay. And perhaps, and more than likely, this falls back to me just in that I did not go back and review the tape as to what was discussed. I asked Betsy, so we're open because there's going to be questions, there should be, to put something together. And what I did was I read from this. So I'm not saying what our motion was. I didn't go back and listen to tape. I'm reading from what I read from what was put on here. So I'm not saying you're right, you're wrong. I'm just saying that's what I just reiterated. And perhaps by my doing that, I gave a misperception of what we did. I don't know. President Bullock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bits or Carol, did we give him a specific job description?
That's the government clerk of council. No, we didn't get it. And I believe we could go
perhaps
back
we
and
need to do
to
that
the, to the motion, but I believe it was to assist with legal and with both the clerk. And the reason the clerk was especially named was because of FOIA requests, because they fall to me. But they're going to become a legal matter when there's all kinds of issues surrounding them. But I believe it was pretty general for assistance.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I tend to agree with Councilman Weiner. I mean, this is very vague as far as, like, who is Mr. Vanberg accountable to? What authority does he have? And quite frankly, when I look at a lot of these things on here, I think they fall under the auspices of the our council to council. And I'm not quite sure that we shouldn't sort of audit the job responsibilities of the various staff of council and kind of list out exactly what does our folks do for the money that we pay them, because we're paying significant dollars, high dollars, okay, to some of our staff. And it seems like when you look at some of these things, I'm not too sure that the majority of the things on the list on this list couldn't be done by staff personnel that we have now, as well as the council to council. So I won't be supporting.
Well, without knowing what the in-depth was, and I'm willing to help the audit and to show you my willingness to cooperate, I'll audit every staff person that's at a step 11 or above. Councilwoman Dill.
I was just going to say, I think part of this is that there were times when Carol was on vacation and that, you know, Ed was in the office, and if he's in the office, he's going to get the stuff that Carol normally gets. So I don't think this is unusual. I mean, I do think that if we need, it should be a priority to get that handbook rewritten, because I know that's a concern. But I think if you're hiring somebody to assist with legal issues, if council isn't here for, you know, some good reasons, people take vacation, people get sick, and he's here, he's going to get the same stuff that she does. So I think it's perfectly reasonable, and I will support, but I do think, to make it a priority to get that handbook done, I know that we've identified that he's going to be taken care of, and I think that should be a part of it.
Any more discussion? Councilman Taggart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I tend to agree on both sides. You know, the Councilwoman Diller, made a lot of valid points, and we do have some things that need to be done, but I'm leaning more towards the comments offered, by Councilman Weiner and Bell, that I think we just need a little bit clearer distinction. I mean, I'm not really clear if the contract attorney's working for Betsy. Is he working for Carol? Is he just here? I mean, I don't know, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing or a good thing. I just mean I'm looking for a little bit more clarity. I know we've had meetings where I know Carol has been here, that he's been sitting in meetings, but I wasn't really sure if he was here to do FOIA or working on handbooks, I don't know. I just need some clarification in order, to move on it, and then maybe a little bit more distinction. I mean, for the first time since, and that has no bearing on anything, I did receive an email today through our office that said he was reviewing an ordinance. He was asked to review an ordinance. I don't know who asked him to review it, but I ended up having to spend some time on the clarification that, I was given on the one ordinance, but it was coupled with two other ordinances, and as soon as I spent the time to go back to land use, get the information, bring the details back, it kind of cleared up everything, and everything was mute, but I was spending the time being the go-between on it. So I don't know, I guess I need a little bit more clarity on what we're doing with it. And
the handbook still needs to be addressed, correct? I'm sorry.
The rules, Betsy Gardner, clerk of council, the rules more so than the handbook. The handbook is, we had an outside attorney working with on that. That should be coming back.
Okay.
The handbook, or the rules are really what I just called it.
Okay. Okay. I would ask, if I can have everyone's attention, I'm not looking to beat this to death, but we do need to know where we're going today forward. And I don't know if this is going to handle everything that needs to be done or not, but hearing what everyone's saying, I would make a motion to transfer $20,000 from council to the part-time employee fund or wherever it is to retain Mr. Danberg for purposes of working with clerk of council on the council rules and FOIA requests only.
About the handbook.
The handbook is in an attorney's hands. That's outside right now.
I don't want to make it that narrow, George, because if Carol isn't here, we need somebody who's sitting in on committee meetings and at county council. We need an attorney down there.
Councilman Bell.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm hearing, don't want to make it so limited and everything else, but when you read this, it's talking about attorney-client privileged work. What privileges? Who does he represent, and who is he accountable to? And what, I guess that, couldn't we get ourselves in a position where he's doing things separate from council to council with no oversight, and next thing you know, we're in a position where he's made a decision?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think attorney-client privilege from an attorney employed by council would extend to the other council employed by council. It would not extend there. But if we go in and sit down with Ms. Doolin to discuss an issue, that's attorney-client privilege. She's prohibited from coming back and discuss that with council unless we release her. But I'm trying to narrow the scope so we can move forward and clerk of council can get done what we originally intended to be done. Pardon?
Who is he accountable to? Who does he report to? And who is his supervisor?
That's waving her hand over here.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. I'm yielding to Betsy because I can't. I would say he's assigned to the clerk of council.
And
with requests also coming from council to council from time to time.
But I'll be honest, I don't count votes, but I hear the concerns. Without the narrow scope, I don't see us moving forward with having someone to assist with the rules. Councilman Hollins.
Yeah, maybe I misunderstood from the very beginning, but I thought the whole notion of the contract attorney was due to the overwhelming amount of legal work that was to be done, whether it be FOIA or otherwise. Right. I think if we're going to do this, why would we handcuff someone that we have an opportunity to bring in as needed? If you're going to have $20,000 for a contract that's open, then why not use it when you need it, as opposed to saying that we have a $20,000 contract, but you can only do ABC. When the needs come for D and E, then you can't use that person. That just simply doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Either you're going to have it where this person can assist, or we don't have it.
Correct.
I support the notion, because I think that it's a reasonable request, and it came from the clerk. I think the clerk can speak for herself. Regardless of what this piece of paper says, I don't really think I'm really judged by what's here. My judgment is not based upon this. I just think if there's a need, the need is articulated, then we do it or we don't do it. If we
maybe
start trying to really have a contract here with all of these provisions and so forth, what good does it really mean to have it?
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
We are paying this man $60 an hour. If we had to go out and get private attorney to help us on anything, we would be paying a minimum of three times that much.
Well, I anticipate that this will be the last, and I don't know that it'll take the whole 20. So I'm going to withdraw that motion. I'm going to make a motion. Yes, sir. Yes.
That's the Governor, Clerk, Council. I just wanted to say that Mr. Danberg is still currently working on a complaint. So to be too specific, you can't do that unless you want to terminate him and say that's it. He needs to finish the complaint. And also, he worked on a termination issue, so there's things that have come along that you can't be that specific about.
Councilman Tagg.
The only question I'd like to know, perhaps from Betsy and or Carol, I mean, I don't perceive him as an independent contractor or something. I want to know that he's working in for
part-time council employee. Yeah.
Under Betsy, who is representing us?
Okay.
I just need clarity in that.
Okay.
We can move on.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I just want to say that if council members, I mean, we're going to have to handle this in a different way. If you want me to be aware of all projects that you may directly go to him for, that is fine. But I don't think that was the understanding at the beginning.
If that I would understand okay. It needs to be go to somebody.
I'm going to make a motion. Let's try it again. I'm going to make a motion that $20,000 be transferred from council contingency to the part-time employee fund, whatever line it has to go on, for purposes of employing Mr. Danberg on a part-time basis to perform legal services as needed and directed by Clerk of Council Betsy Gardner.
Second.
Okay. Question on the motion.
We might have to play it back. Go ahead.
Sure.
Councilman Warner.
It was said before that, Betsy, you direct that the Danberg also seeks direction from Carol Doolin, Council to Council. Now, the way I heard the motion was it's going to be directed to Clerk of Council. Is that your understanding what the motion was?
Yes. Yes, I understand that's what the motion was. And it may be that you want it to be in conjunction with
I think there needs to be one person who's directing so we know exactly what's going on and we can ask you for accountability.
That's what that did.
Yep.
That's not to say that Carol can't go to Betsy, or Betsy can't. That's not to say they can't talk about food, but at the end of the day, because Betsy has the longest tenure, she can afford to be terminated more than anybody else here.
It's just not clear to me from Mr. Danberg's actions who he's working
with. Well, that's why we're looking from right here forward, and that's why it was clearly designated in the motion, as you observed, that Ms. Gardner is the oversight person.
Okay, but I just want to make it a matter of record
yep.
that his actions have not provided me with a lot of confidence that there aren't issues as to for whom he's working.
Well,
I'll leave it at that.
Working for counsel, at clerk of counsel's direction, and I have not asked him anything, including the time. So we have him.
One more question.
Okay. You're supposed to have the answers. You're not supposed to ask the questions.
I just want to clarify that if council members want a specific project done and they want the help of Mr. Danberg, you are not going to go directly. They're not going to go directly to him. You're going to come to me, and I'm going to go to him.
Yes.
You don't want to go directly.
Yes, and that way you're aware of if his time has to go off something. And to be fair, should this pass, then your first duty is to inform Mr. Danberg of that.
Okay.
And council members, everybody here is aware, so I would hope no one would put him in that position. Councilmember Hollins.
Yeah, I would just question why a member of council would go directly to Mr. Danberg as opposed to going to council to council. I just don't see that as being the usual manner here, and that Mr. Danberg is not council to council. Ms. Doolin is. So I think that nothing changes here other than we're bringing on additional legal responsibilities here, but that doesn't change the relationship between council members and who council to council is.
And I would suggest that the only way that question could be resolved is if whoever one of those or more of those council members were come and explain to you what their reasoning was. I have no idea. But I agree. Council to council is here for that purpose, to work with the council members, unless if council to council for some reason had a conflict, then I could see it. I don't know that. Councilman Bell.
Just one final point or question, I guess, is the fact that, you know, when you have someone hired, and what I'm reading on here is still very vague to me, but if he offers opinion, legal opinion, who's responsible? He's ultimately responsible for what he gives, but can he give opinion to council members and without any consultation of council to council? Because, in all honesty, I think this thing is not clear, and I think we're going to get into one of these.
Well, we're not into this now. And to be honest, this was just this was just a synopsis I asked Betsy to put together and go, ask for money, what's he been doing? I didn't ask for a detailed report. And maybe I shouldn't have put it up. But in regards to that, I would just say he's a licensed attorney. He's passed the bar. I'm sure he can give out legal opinions. As far as who he works for county council at Betsy's direction. That would be the purpose. As far as what his opinion holds or doesn't hold, you know, I'm saying that falls to the council member that decided they needed to go to him and ask him. If they didn't have confidence in it, they shouldn't have went there. Councilman Hollins.
I'm sorry to continue to contribute to this, but
that's right. We got 12 minutes.
It's much bigger than what it needs to be, in my
opinion.
But at the same time, I think when council to council is absent, it's not unusual to have an attorney at our meetings to give us legal advice. That attorney oftentimes comes from the executive branch because they lend us attorneys. So I think legal advice is legal advice. You take it or you don't. That's the same thing with council to council. Council to council gives us legal advice that we may or may not accept, and that goes for any attorney, I think.
Wow.
But I feel that we do need to have some legal advice from time to time, whether it be at committee meetings or whether it be at the legislative session or when we go into executive session. I believe that Mr. Danberg has sat in before during executive session. So either we do it or we don't, but I just think it's a reasonable request, as I mentioned earlier.
Okay, we have a motion and a second that I think is pretty clear. I'm going to tell you as to whose direction he works for. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Not voting.
Okay. That's one no, one not voting. So that leaves 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 yes. So, okay. Motion's passed. Is it anything for the expense and revenue roundtable? Anything under other?
I don't want to make a big deal about this, but Betsy sent out a report to us that showed us which reports where the grants are like overdue. And I don't know if we ever take a look at it, but there's a lot that are overdue. Do we ever do any follow-up? And some of them are years overdue. And I did see that some of the organizations are defunct, so obviously that. But what's their procedure for following up on those overdue?
Well, I can just tell you, number one, I remember when we were first, or at least when I first got involved, we got started, the onus was to fall in the council member's office. I can tell you, as co-chair of finance, and some people may not like it, but I read every grant application. There are times I'm sure some of your aides get upset because I walk along with Betsy back to them because things are missing. And I do match that against the sheet. And if there's one there, because I actually will go back and check to see, make sure they fall outside of that guideline. I just think it's a responsibility that I have. I'm not targeting anyone, but it's what I do. I can tell you for me, even though I don't have any, I do check to make sure that's been fulfilled. But the onus was to fall on the council member and his staff. And if they haven't done it and they send in an application, not only is it for them to deny, but yeah, should be reaching back out. And if there are ones that they're aware of that are defunct, that Betsy doesn't have as defunct, we need to put that there. Because we also need to be cognizant of the fact that sometimes let me use the name of a person I really don't like. A person named Joe Smith may have a nonprofit, and then they get grant money, they raise funds, and then they go defunct. And then that same Joe Smith, 6 months later, has another nonprofit. So we got to look at the names as well. And that's why I can take you in and show you. I have books. I have all the applications that we've ever gotten. I have them in there. But Councilman Hollins, you had your hand up.
I agree with you, Mr. Chair. I think it's our responsibility. We all sponsor these grants, and as a matter of fact, I have a couple that's been brought to my attention as recent as today that we have the applications simply said to my aide, well, we can't move it forward. If they have not responded, that is a requirement. It's pointed out. It's written for you. And my aide just went through all of this today, and the person who has stopped me on the way into the office, well, you need to talk to my aide. She's taking care of that. But you have to respond to what the conditions are. And if you don't, then you don't deserve it, in my opinion. I think it's a personal thing because we personally bring these forward. It comes through our offices. So I don't expect someone else to have to do that for me. If it's brought to my attention, simply means that the grant is not going to go forward.
Because I would tell you, my concern is it's like a virus that spreads. You know, nonprofits talk, they know each other. It's like, oh, I got to get that letter. I don't worry about putting that letter in. I didn't do mine. It's no problem. Don't worry about it. Ms. Gardner, again.
I just wanted to ensure counsel that if a report has not been received and someone comes for a grant again, I give it back and say, you have to go back to them. You never got a report previously.
And don't take me wrong. I wasn't implying that Betsy doesn't do her job. It's just we kind of cross-check each other and try to make sure.
My question is different, that is, I guess I'm asking this to each council member, just asking, can we all redouble our efforts to follow up on the reports which are derelict that are late?
Because I'm open to a rule change that says that if it's not provided within 6 months, we send a letter requesting the money back. I think we can get some letters in. Councilwoman Dillon.
I have to say community services in 7 minutes. So if you want a break, wrap it up.
No, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. Okay. Any public comment? Are we okay on that topic? I understand.
Yeah, wrap it up.
Any public comment? Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Okay, motion to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Those not voting? Back in 6 minutes. 6 minutes.